For Proverbs, verses 1 to 3. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. All a man's ways seems right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And then in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22, we read the following words where Jesus is being tested by the religious authorities on the subject of paying taxes. And we read these words. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the word of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose portrait is this and whose inscription? Caesar, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. And then in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, Jesus is preparing to send people out to go to places before he arrives. And this is what he tells them. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. Amen. So this week, we'll be kicking off some major celebrating. Since the 4th of July, or Independence Day, is on Thursday, some of us will use that excuse for celebrating all week, kind of like we did when the Blues won on Wednesday. We just still celebrating, right? So we'll be celebrating a lot of people all week. We'll be doing hot dogs on the grill and picnics and parades, red, white, and blue flags, all celebrating the pride we feel for our country. But you know, one thing I found is since I'm supposed to bring props when I preach, I found in the basement the other day, I did not know that I had bottle rockets, and I had something that I think might be effective in getting rid of my the beaver dams at my farm. It's called military smoke dynamite sticks. So I might be able to use this, but many of us will be going to what? Parades, and many of us will be going to fireworks shows on the 4th, because that's what we tend to do. We tend to light up the sky. But is God up in heaven waving the stars and stripes? You know, since I bring props, I had to get my grandchildren involved in the process this time, because I thought, well, I might as well get the whole family involved. So I asked them to make up some posters. The Donnelly boys worked on this. It says, God bless America. We see this a lot of times, don't we? On bumper stickers, sometimes on billboards, don't we? Do we believe it? My other grandsons, the Frankie boys, they wrote on theirs, "In God we trust." There's a picture of the country and various activities we're all doing. You know, we say that on our coins and our currency. In God we trust. Do we? Do we believe that? It's going to stand. Hoping that one stands. You know, we'll be celebrating our 243rd birthday, these United States of America, on Thursday. How many more will we celebrate? You know, God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. And we've all heard that before, and we all know that. But today I want to focus on God and country. Now, this could go in a variety of directions. I could certainly attack all that seems to be going wrong with our country. Or I could ignore that and say, everything is wonderful and great in our country. One thing we shouldn't forget in our country is our history. Now, some people will tell you we should forget that. I will tell you we should not forget it. That's what made our country. It's what made some of us what we are. You know, our forefathers were something called revolutionaries. They overthrew a government that they a foreign tyranny that they thought was imposing on them. But today I want to focus, and I want us to be enthusiastic about celebrating our holiday and realizing that our country has both strengths and weaknesses. And I'll be talking about today what I think it means to be both a Christian and an American. Now, in one of our scriptures this morning, in Matthew 22, some of the religious leaders confronted Jesus with a question that they thought surely would put Jesus in a bad light with either the religious authorities, with the Roman government, or with the Jewish people. And that was the topic of paying taxes. What could be a more direct and an ugly question that needed an answer? Think of it. A country ruling you with no participation or representation in government. Now, I know some of you might think, well, that's us now. But no, it's not. We do have representation in government. But it's something that we realize we wouldn't like. And that's what the Jewish people were under with the Roman occupation. The Romans collected three different taxes from the Jews. One was a ground tax. Now, a ground tax is which each person was forced to pay 1/10 of all their grain and 1/5 of all the oil and wine they produced, a very heavy tax. They also had an income tax, which we're kind of familiar with. Now, that wasn't as bad. They was only supposed to pay 1%, but of their total income. So still the government was involved in determining what that 1% was and involved in your business. And finally, they had something called a poll tax. Now, a poll tax was paid by every male age 14 to 65 and every female age 12 to 65, and it was typically a denarius, which was the tribute coin, which was the equivalent of slightly more than a day's wages. On top of this, there were religious taxes, various offering boxes in the temple court, which you were to donate to, on top of your tithes, and on top of your offerings and paying for various religious activities in Jerusalem. So it was in this environment during Holy Week that the religious leaders tried to put Jesus on the spot. If Jesus would have said, no, you don't have to pay taxes, they would have reported him to the Roman government. If he would have said, well, yes, you need to pay taxes, he would have looked bad in all the eyes of the Jewish people. But Jesus, the Bible tells us, knew their evil intent. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? He said, show me a coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose portrait is this and whose inscription? And they replied, Caesar's. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And it says his powerful answer not only amazed his challengers, but Scripture tells us they left him. They got out of there as quick as they could. They had no answer for what he said. Now, what may on the surface look like a kind of a clever compromise reflects a divine truth which speaks to both you and me today as we analyze our responsibilities to God and country. Jesus was saying that we have dual citizenship. Every one of us has a responsibility to serve our country, the United States, and to serve God. Are you rendering unto your country that which belongs to it? Are you giving to God that which belongs to Him? On one hand, we live in a country with political leaders and government. And you owe an allegiance to the government into which you pool your resources in a way that provides a form of safety, education, transportation, public utilities, a degree of Social Security, and other things that are provided through the government, which they can do a lot cheaper than we could on our own. Could you imagine if you had to have your own police, have your own sewage system, make your own roads? Another one of our basic responsibilities is civil obedience. Now, we are to obey the law as long as these laws do not conflict with biblical revelation. The Apostle Paul urged us to be subject to governing authorities. He says in Romans 13, verse 6 through 7, the Bible says this: "This is also why you pay taxes, for authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes." We also have basic responsibilities as citizens of the United States besides civil obedience. We could and should vote. We could, right now, if we choose to, become involved in the military if we choose to. We should and could be involved in juries if you are selected for one. And there's other functions we could be doing. And to me, those all could make us a Christian patriot. And what is a Christian patriot? Well, I wrote down three things. It's a person who has an open-eyed allegiance to their country. They check out what's going on. They investigate. They read. They talk to other people. They talk to their government leaders. They want to know what's going on. You need to be involved. Two, it's a person with healing love, acknowledging both our nation's strengths and weaknesses. He or she feels emotion. We are loyal. I can tell you, when I have been in other countries and that flag has not been flying, I have a funny feeling inside of me. Just a different feeling. And the third thing is we should be a person that dedicates ourselves to second mile service, which is prayer. How often do we pray for our leaders of our government? You know, I got a pamphlet from the Billy Graham Association, How to Pray for Our Leaders. The late Billy Graham says, "It is a great privilege as well as our responsibility to pray for our government leaders." Inside, here's some scriptures and some techniques for praying. And on the back, it lists people. You're supposed to write their name: President, Vice President, Cabinet members, U.S. Senators, U.S. House of Representatives, Supreme Court Justices, military leaders, governing state governors, mayors, state legislators, and on and on. I can tell you, I try to personally pray by name for the leaders of our country that I know. I don't know all their names, but I try to pray for the names that I do know, because they need our prayers. Just like we pray for one another, we should pray for our government leaders. I didn't say we would always agree with them. I said we should lift them up to God and ask God to give them wisdom. Even as there are certain things that we are responsible to do for our country, there are certainly certain services we are to render unto God. We are to be all God created us to be. Our lives must be His. Our possessions must be His. Our creative abilities must be His. You know, God, the Bible tells us God created us in His image. Isn't it sad how all of us, in some way, shape, or form, has defaced that image? You know, giving or rendering to God means that I wrote down three things. You and I are to acknowledge His absolute sovereignty. We are to acknowledge His absolute love. And you and I are to offer ourselves in His absolute service. Where there is conflict, our responsibility to God is top priority. And there may be moments in our history in which our ultimate allegiance to God will be tested. I've said several times when I've taught teenagers or even when I teach adults, I've used this example. If we're told next week that it's against the law to be in any sanctuary on Sunday morning, will you be here? You'll be thrown in jail if you show up. Will you come? That's where you could be tested. 50 years ago, no one would ever even think that was a possible question. I don't know so much now or 50 years down the road. But you could be tested. Your allegiance to God is the top priority. Which leads me to a question, what could God do for America? Well, before I give you my three answers, most people, whether Republican, Democrat, or Independent, appreciated our 40th president, Ronald Reagan's wit and charm. Now, he had a way of saying things that caused you to think. Once he made a statement concerning America and her relationship with God. He said the following, America was founded by people who believed that God was their rock of safety. I recognize we must be cautious in claiming that God is on our side, but I think it's all right to keep asking if we're on His side. When we choose to be on God's side, great things happen. Think of the early church in the book of Acts. Difficulties, persecution, yet great growth of the Christian faith and the church and God's kingdom. What happened? Remember what happened after Peter and John had healed a crippled beggar and told the religious authorities they would not stop teaching and healing in Jesus' name. We're told in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31, these verses. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What can God do? Well, He answers the prayers of his people. All the incredible things that happened in Acts happened because the people prayed. They went to God in prayer. It's been said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. James wrote in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Two is, he honors his word, the Bible. Now, the early church prayed the word of God that was relevant to their situation. Believers today should seize God's promises relevant to our nation's situation and crises as well. Now, I want you to listen to the words of our 28th president, Woodrow Wilson. And if you don't know who Woodrow Wilson was, he was president 100 years ago. He was elected in 1912. He served throughout his term of 1920. He was a president when many problems were happening in this country. World War I. There was unrest in the country then, too, because women were trying to get the right to vote, which happened in 1920. All that was going on, coming to a head. He tried to form the League of Nations. Remember, he was unsuccessful. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with it. We formed the United Nations later, after World War II. But he tried to form the League of Nations, was unsuccessful. And he got very ill his last years in office. And in fact, we're told that his wife did many of the activities and decisions behind the scenes for him because he was so sick. But listen to his words and tell me if you would hear any of these words now from anybody. He says, there are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president. But I expect to find the solution to those problems just in the proportion that I am in the study of the Word of God. You'll never hear that today from anybody. People want to tell you, the media wants to tell you, that this book is irrelevant. That's all old history, stuff that doesn't really matter. The third thing I want to mention is he rules the rulers of the earth, God does. The Bible tells us in two Old Testament scriptures that God is in charge of the rulers. Psalm 22:28 says, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. And in our first scripture this morning, Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. Listen to the words of our first president, George Washington, who understood this, that God's hand was upon his life. He said, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me for me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And other presidents understood this as well. George Bush, our 41st president, said this, the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us so that he may incline our hearts to him to walk in all his ways. That all peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. And finally, our 33rd president, the president from the wonderful state of Missouri, Harry Truman, who kind of had a reputation of saying it like it is, and he says these simple words to us. So simple. He says, we can all pray. We should all pray. We should ask for courage, wisdom, for the quietness of the soul which comes alone in them who place their lives in his hands. You know, when we think of Independence Day or the 4th, we naturally think of the word freedom. As Americans, the ultimate document of freedom is the Bill of Rights. It outlines all the freedoms that we supposedly have. And I want to look at that as we look at our final scripture this morning from Luke chapter 10. You know, the Fifth Amendment states, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. In this amendment, we are guaranteed the right to keep our property, to keep our stuff, all the things we've worked hard for that are ours. No one has a right to them. We are free to take care of ourselves. Yet Jesus tells us something totally different in Luke 10, verses 3 and 4. He says, go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. Jesus tells the 72 to lay down all the things that they earned for themselves. All the things that would be helpful in traveling. Money, change of clothes, tools. Jesus says, put these things away. Just go. For the disciples, they had a different kind of freedom. A freedom of property and possessions. Can you imagine this? If you had no property, place, possessions of any kind. Our work campers just came back from work camp yesterday. They were in Ohio doing work for the Lord in Ohio. Can you imagine next year if the people at the work camp said to us, oh, by the way, next year you can't bring any clothes. You can't bring any tools. You can't bring any money. Just come yourself. We have no idea what's going to happen. Just come. Jesus told people just to go. Abandon your property. I need you to go. I need you to use the abilities I've given each of you individually. Just go. It's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around because we're used to accumulating. The First Amendment also guarantees Americans more freedoms. One of those freedoms is the freedom of speech. Part of it states, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Now, this law allows us to hold opinions and express them without interference. If we want to speak against the government, we are promised the freedom to do so. Of course, on the downside, it also protects the rights of people to say vile and evil and indecent things. It allows the internet to run rampant with pornography. Those are things that come with the freedom of speech, unfortunately. Now, does a Christian have the freedom of speech? Well, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For Paul, there were restrictions placed on Christian speech. We are not to boast of ourselves or of our accomplishments, such as when I went home yesterday after playing golf, I was telling my wonderful wife, Brenda, said, you should have seen I drained this 45-foot putt. It was tremendous. It was really great. My team was really excited. And I must have said it about four or five times because Brenda finally said, sounds like you're boasting. And I said, I'll use that tomorrow. So we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to boast about our children, our grandchildren, even our church. We're only supposed to boast in the cross of Jesus. But what else is there really to boast about? And the last freedom I want to talk about is the freedom of religion. Again, it's the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And again, the Apostle Paul had something to say about our ability to exercise religion freely. In Galatians 6:2, he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Paul says we're not free to practice our religion any way we want, but there's a very specific way we are to practice our faith to bear one another's burdens. Paul says this fulfills the highest law, the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? A simple word, love. We can find no deeper, no more important practice of love than where we bear the burdens of one another. You know, just as Jesus, our God, was God in the flesh and had all the rights and privileges of God, yet he laid them down for our sake, so we too have many great rights as citizens of this kingdom that we call the United States. But there are many times when we must lay down our rights and freedoms in order that we may be truly free. We serve the King of Kings, and I close by the words that are written in Psalm 66, verses 1 through 9. I thought these words are very appropriate for today. Shout with joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his name glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God. O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you how you have watched over the United States of America these past 243 years. Help us to remember how precious our freedoms and rights truly are. We ask for your guidance and seek to be obedient to your highest calling and to use our skills and abilities as you have provided them to us. We give you all the glory and praise. Amen.